Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Richard Cross, be sure to catch Sports Talk Mississippi, your new home for the best sports coverage right here in the Magnolia State. Every day from 3 until 6, right here on Super Talk Jackson 97.3.
Welcome. It is Monday morning, 9 a.m. I'm here. Cooper Miles is here.
Present and accounted for.
Richard Schwartz is here. Richie?
Oh. Hey.
There he is.
There he is.
You sound like you're in a good mood today, buddy.
Hey, I mean, when am I not in a good mood working for Richard Schwartz?
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Have you ever seen the movie Over the Top?
Go ahead and lie to the listeners all the time.
Well, no. I mean, trust me. The check has a tendency. You have one of the best attributes as an employer I've ever,
a valid signature.
The check's clear. Okay, not all my employers have had that quality, and as I get older, it's such an attractive quality to have.
So Richard, I would equate Brent's work here on the air. Have you ever seen the old Sylvester Stallone movie Over the Top, where he's an arm wrestling truck driver? Because if you haven't,
no, I hadn't seen that.
That's class. So anyway, so when he gets ready to arm wrestle, he has his baseball cap on. There's a scene in the movie where he talks about it. He turns it around. It's like flipping a switch.
I mean, he becomes a machine.
Right.
And so, he hits his truck.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Brent, the red light goes on the microphone. The switch is flipped.
Yes.
And boom. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Bright-eyed and something. Before we get into, and folks, you are listening to the Richard Schwartz Show. For any questions and calls, please call us 888-808-8637. And if you have a question for us, you'd like to text us, 601-879-4395. Also, please remember, if you have a question for us off the air or just want to talk to us, 601-988-8888, or if you're in northern Mississippi, 662-988-8888. Hey, clear your throat during the number reads, Richie.
I will.
Get it all out.
Thank you, sir.
Now, before we continue the show, I do need to give one of my friends, Drew Tyler. His dad was Bob Tyler. He passed last night, I do believe. For those who do not know, Bob Tyler was a famous coach at Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Drew and I met each other playing pickup basketball and spent 7 years playing pickup basketball. So Dale Tyler was Mr. Tyler's wife, and Breck and Cam are his other two sons. So I would ask everybody to keep them in their prayers. I didn't know Mr. Tyler that well. I met him a couple times, but just a class act and a great guy. And it's always a tragedy when someone loses a parent. So we want to send our condolences out to the Tyler family. With that said, Richie, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty good. How about you?
Best laid plans of mice and men, and then reality happens. Watched some basketball, did a little work. I don't know why I'm not a GM for the NBA. I need to send my resume out.
Got to figure it out, huh?
Well, I can tell you what I won't do. I won't trade for 3 stars that would never do anything like the Phoenix Suns and get us over $110 million in super tax or in payroll tax, especially if one of those stars have averaged like 30 games a year and he has a non-tradable clause like Bradley Beal. I can do that. I can suck that bad. I mean, if someone wants to pay me where, we can lose on the first round and be $100 million over the payroll, I can come in $50 million.
Damn,
and not win the championship. But no, and then, State beat Vanderbilt.
Nice.
In a series, so they still have their baseball season going. We technically do. It's an off year. It's an off year for the Rebels, but hopefully the Bulldogs are picking up some momentum.
So when do you fire the coach?
Wow, Richard Schwartz. Look, I did some deep dives on that, and I'm a fan. I'm a fan because he's won a national championship. He's got 1,000 wins in the SEC. And if you look at his record, he's averaging 30 wins a year. We're having a bad year. One bad year, Richie, One, and let me say this. I heard this years ago. Coach Bianco and his wife are legends in the Oxford community. Legends.
I'm sure they are.
And I mean, just great people.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
I heard the anti-Hugh Freeze. Woo, shots fired. Shots fired. But I'm just Richie, you can't win every year.
Tell that to Alabama.
Well, we'll tell them this year. Hopefully a lot.
I think my prediction is he'll be replaced.
See, folks, and there's so many questions I want to know, but I don't want to know because I know there's some meetings I'm not I don't get invited to because I don't have that bank account. Let's see what he does next year. See how he rebounds. And, I do believe Ole Miss and State have this in common. I thought once you win the Natty, it'll just elevate the program a little bit.
Right.
Just go a little bit higher, get better recruits. It just seems baseball is just so regional and so, a couple pitchers here, a couple pitchers there. And, NIL is a new thing, Richie. NIL and baseball, I don't even know how that really works. I know LSU used it.
Same way.
Well, I know that, but yeah, LSU. LSU won the national championship last year, and they just sucked this year. So
it's really funny. You win a national championship, and then you just really fall apart.
Well, I think everything has to come.
Ole Miss State and LSU.
Yeah, I think everything has to come together. Now, Skip Bertman's sitting there saying, hey, I won 7, I think, and I kept it going. But, I mean, there's just so many great facilities. There's so many things going on. And, I mean, like I said, I thought I was going to look at his record. Look, I was there during, was it Kessinger's years? Is that Don Kessinger?
Yeah.
And we were not guaranteed postseason play. And, I mean, great guy. Yeah.
You only had 48 teams made it then. Now 64 do, though. So very different metrics that you get into the postseason
with. But, Lance, you cannot say that Kessinger was the same type of coach.
Different era. I mean, I agree. I played in the era with Kessinger, and I played for Pat Harrison at Ole Miss.
Okay.
Played at Auburn, went to the World Series in 93-94, graduated in 98. And, I played in that era of the live bat before Bianco, before the expansion of the SEC, before the 64 teams, and it was very difficult to get into a regional. It was hard to get to the conference tournament.
Correct.
So, yeah, the metrics have changed a bit, but Mike Bianco has done an amazing job in his 21 years, save a few seasons. So, both can be true.
Mm. Well, okay. You're the baseball expert on the show, Lance. First of all...
Thank you. I like being an expert.
Title. First of all, let me just go ahead and say this. Do they drug test now? Because I know they did in the 90s.
No, I got popped a bunch. I was basically the lab rat for Auburn. They'd be like, all right, you go...
For steroids?
It was steroid use or any kind of thing.
Growth hormone?
Anything that would stay in your blood, I guess, that was not supposed to be there.
I don't think they can test growth hormone today, but I'm telling you, I was by some of those LSU buses when those baseball players came off.
Oh, I played against them. Yeah. I don't want to name names or anything. But
they were bigger than some of our tight ends.
When you have guys standing on the top ring of the stairs hollering at your mama and screaming blood, you're going, who is this guy? I'm trying to concentrate. It's a player.
Yeah, it's one of those things where...
Hey, I had to go take a pee test at Creighton when we went to the World Series my freshman year. They threw us in a car and said, all right, let's go. I'm like, where are we going? Oh, we're going to... So I had to pee for the team.
Were there some people were hiding?
Yeah, I don't know.
There were some people in the back room.
He's a freshman. He's not going to play.
Oh, come on. They're random.
Random. But no, what would you do with Bianco?
Sidestep.
Come on, shoot it straight.
I believe you got to see how you finish, quite frankly, because you had the 22 season where they got into by being the last one in, then they were the last one out.
Oh.
So I think you make that decision after the season has concluded. At least you're out of position to make it, yeah.
Well, I don't see a run coming with this group. But, once again, everybody in 2024 can have it. The days of stacking scholarships, and, I do believe we're about to see that in Tuscaloosa, hopefully. It's not what it used to be. But, it's entertaining. It's not as exciting. there's not a lot of motivation to drive up to Oxford to see a game right now for me. I don't, you know, but you know, it's still a great reason to get out there and see your bring your kids and picnic. Basically,
it's a good day.
It's a good day. Yes, and the weather's getting right there. We would encourage everybody, any college, Jackson State, Delta State, USM. USM has
a good year.
A great program that's not supported enough. People in Hattiesburg and stuff, I mean, they're only sitting, you know, 4,800, 5,800 in that stadium. That's a great day in Hattiesburg going out there and watching those games. So we would encourage everybody. It's also a great way to get your kids on campus, point out some buildings so you start talking about college, things like that. Question, gentlemen, did you see where Elon Musk was in China talking about self-driving software? I'm going to ask these two their opinions on self-driving software and the litigation it might lead to right after this break.
From the Seabrook.
We are back. Bryn Hazzard, Cooper Miles, and Richard Schwartz, the legend himself. But we are, before we get into self-driving cars, we have Bob on the line. Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Richie, I did not realize that President Trump had almost 80, I think he's got 88 charges that have been filed against him. I was under the impression that the Secret Service protected each and every president and their families. But I read where the criminal charges, if he's convicted of a criminal charge, that the Secret Service is not going to protect him any longer. What I was calling about today, Richie, was the legality and all the problems with the college campuses and the protest erupting around America today. The protests have taken over the news and everything. So what I was going to ask y'all today is, can you sue these universities for not protecting the students, for failing as educators with their teachers participating in these protests, Richie, and they're not providing any kind of safety for these students, whether they're whatever they're associated with? And plus, Richie, can you sue under any kind of civil rights violations? And are they entitled to be compensated for classes being shut down and school being stopped in their education process?
Well, I mean, you have a right to a First Amendment expression. And, of course, if it turns violent, if someone's actually injured, then you have all kinds of possible lawsuits. You may have one against the university for failure to provide security. You could have one against the city who didn't provide security. You could have it against the group if it's an organized group. But, I mean, unless there's some physical harm, I mean, missing classes, that's a decision the school makes, not necessarily. I don't think you can sue the school for canceling a class. They can cancel a class for any reason you want. But I definitely think that if it turns violent, then that becomes a different issue completely. And I think it is open up all kinds of other avenues to pursue. Do you think
hey,
so,
Richie,
Brent?
The First Amendment does not provide you to spread hate and to and to create a organized movement of sorts to involving all sorts of people on campus and off campus to attack innocent people and other students or create violence.
Are they actually physically attacking attacking people? Are they physically attacking? You know, and the First Amendment does allow you to create hate. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what the First Amendment gives you, right to different opinions. But if they're physically attacking people, and I'm not aware of that, then that's a different animal completely. But for them to get on the on campus and protest, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's a right that every American has. I mean, do you think, Brent, you're more of a constitutional law guy than me?
I mean, this is bringing me back to kind law. But, yes, a couple of things. You'd have to separate the university or colleges in two groups, public and private. And now the public universities, you do get into it being a state-owned actor. And the courts have ruled that, you know, why, and I'm using Ole Miss as an example here because there were some people protesting the Confederate flags and things like that. The courts have ruled you do have a right to protest on campus. The campus has a right to designate the protest. So, like, I know there was a couple of protests doing some football games where they, you know, and people make accusations. And the schools always say, well, we're designating you in a safe area, mm-hmm. and it's way away from everybody else. But, you know, you got a big parking lot or you got a, you know, a big area to protest. It's just not near where the activity is going on. So your First Amendment rights is not it does not succeed certain laws and rules of the state. Now, to protest, you also have usually have to get permits, things like that. Now, if you're talking about public universities, you are looking at usually a state tort claims act. Mississippi, we have the Mississippi State Mississippi Tort Claims Act. Discretion is immune in Mississippi, meaning, you know, if it's up to the administration to decide when you can protest and how you can protest and what time you can protest, you can't really sue them because of the decisions they make in a discretionary function. Now, if there's already rules set out and they don't follow those rules or regulations, now you can sue them for violating that. Now, when you're talking about private institutions, I haven't been involved in any of these suits. Every now and then I used to have to sue a university in my early life, legal life. Private institutions, I wonder if there's any arbitration clauses in those provisions. But then you get into what's called Title IX, and you get into education funding and Title VIII. I'm doing this off the top of my head. One's women's, Title IX right. might be women's, Title VIII might be education. And then you get into, but like USC, I saw there were some protests at USC. Private school. So, you know, different set of facts there. Mm-hmm. Now, if they take federal funding, now they get into, you know, some of that state actor, your First Amendment rights come into play there if they take federal funding, depending on the rules and the laws and things like that. But, you know, like Baylor, when they had all those rapes being covered up and sexual abuses because of the football program, it was
72.
It was different than if the University of Texas did it because Baylor is a private institution. So you get into those institutions and how they're set up. You know, Baylor's cases were filed in federal court. Now, I mean, like I said, but you have different rights at a private institution versus a public institution. I know one of the things that hit on Northwest, you know, they were trying to unionize their football team at Northwest. So, I mean, it is going to have two different issues. Back to your questions about safety. From what I've seen on the news and most of the world we're talking about, pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, they're setting up barriers. They're having securities. They're just breaking through those. Technically, you could argue that's a trespass or that's assault. Schools are not going to be liable for that, you know, unless they just see it coming or if they provide inadequate security. But if someone's going to come up there and you know, throw a gas bomb or some sort of bomb or some homemade bomb or something or tear gas or, you know, hit somebody or decide to do violence, I don't see how the school would be liable for that. Cooper, am I missing anything there?
I don't think so. But just because you couldn't find them liable doesn't mean somebody wouldn't try to sue.
Oh, yeah. You know,
anyway.
You try to go under 1983, which is your civil rights federal statute for violation of any statutes. And like I said, you do get into those titles. I briefly visit them every now and then now. But it's, let me go ahead and say it's very difficult to prove those laws. That's why they make them that way. And then a lot of them, you do have to exhaust administrative remedies on some of these issues, I would imagine, on the private institute. I'm trying to think what the Northwest football team did. I think they had to go through some arbitration or mediations when they were harassment and things like that. But let me say this. When you're suing these universities, whether state court, federal court, I always prefer federal court because those judges are appointed. But like here, a lot of your federal judges come from Ole Miss Law School. Okay, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Suing, and you're not suing a university, let's say we're suing USC or something, you're suing a multi-million, maybe billion-dollar facility institution that has a lot of pull.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like suing Walmart in Arkansas. Things are not going to go well for you politically. So, you know, it's going to be complicated there, but that's... Like I said, hang on, we've got a text message. What about 1983 claims against the state of Mississippi or against any of its institutions or municipalities, counties? What about 1983 claims against state employees? That's what I was talking about. You can sue for 83, you got so reckless disregard of rights. You see a lot of 83 claims against police officers. That's where we usually have them here. Where you got to remember, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, this is getting in a little bit of legalese. We're in the Fifth Circuit. Mm-hmm. Fifth Circuit is the most conservative court. Every federal district court, there's one in Oxford, there's one in Aberdeen, there's one in Greenville, one in Jackson, one on the coast, Biloxi. And is there one still in Natchez? I haven't been to the one in Natchez. They closed the one in Meridian, I do believe. But then those courts appeal to New Orleans. And just due to judicial appointments by the Senate, the Fifth Circuit's most conservative court in the nation. This is not my opinion. This is documented. Also, I've talked to clerks who've worked at the U.S. Supreme Court. They watch the Ninth Circuit is the most liberal. That's California, Washington, Oregon, and then Fifth Circuit. So suing any type of state employee or things like that, you could, but you get into qualified immunity. You get into a lot going on. You just got to show they basically intentionally did it. Or they didn't put any security out there.
Right.
But anyway, we're going to come back. That was a very good question, Bob. But we'll be back to answer some questions and talk about self-driving cars right after this break.
Mississippi.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's the Richard Schwartz Show brought to you by Schwartz & Associates. Please remember, if you've been injured, need to talk to someone about Social Security, have an excellent Social Security department, excellent workers' comp department. A lot of times, if I got hurt on the job, you know, I don't know what to do on workers' comp. And I've been to court hundreds and thousands of times as an ex-prosecutor and as a plaintiff and sometimes as a criminal defense attorney. Those things are very nuanced. So give us a call, 601-988-8888. You can talk to Brett, Michael, and Kelly, three excellent attorneys. Richie, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you get involved in workers' comp a lot? I know people ask me all the time if you still work, and I'm like, way too much for my taste. Because, I mean, you're constantly auditing us. You're constantly supervising us. You and I are having a couple conversations about what to do with Medicaid in other states. I didn't know what a Medicare savings account was, and you were showing me the process the other day, and that's what when you have a major injury, you can lose your Medicare or Medicaid benefits if you do not put up enough money for a savings account. And what we do is we hire experts to make sure it's done right. But do you still get hands on workers' comp, or how do you do that, sir?
You know, I get involved in it, like trying to get waivers or try to get reductions or try to settle workers' comp like we. I just the other day I got a waiver on one on a workers' comp lien, so I could settle the third party case. And we had one before. I don't know if you were involved in that one or not, where workers' comp had this huge lien, and all the insurance there was $1,050,000, and in the whole world, and their lien was like, you know, $800,000 plus their future medicals, and so we got all that worked out with workers' comp. I got involved in that one. So, yeah, I get involved in it. I just don't go to the actual hearing, workers' comp hearings, no.
Now, I will say this, for those, and once again, things you learn when you come over and work for the legend, workers' comp liens, that's when you get money from your job or workers' comp, they pay usually for medical bills, mm-hmm. Medical treatment, and sometimes wages. Mm-hmm. They eat first by statute, meaning, mm-hmm. okay, we get our attorney's fees, but I'm fighting over that. I've had to fight over that lately. But, you know, you get, like Richie said in that scenario, they have an $800,000 lien.
Mm-hmm.
You get a $900,000 judgment. The first $800,000 after attorney's fees goes to workers' comp. And what I've learned and what I've learned from Richie is you don't want to try those cases. You want to use the unknown to negotiate that lien down as far as it'll go, and especially if you can use a federal magistrate to do that. Because, like I said, you can get a great verdict, but if it all is going to workers. And, of course, the workers' comp insurance companies are like, whoa, we paid it. We want it back.
Right.
But there's a risk involved, and these are things that, you know, a lot of people do not know until you actually do this 1,000 times. But we have a couple of text messages. Those are brought, the talking about 1983 claims, those are brought in federal court, and the MTCA does not apply to those federal claims, right, or do they? No, you can actually sue on behalf of federal claims and Mississippi tort claims. The Mississippi tort claims are heard by, are decided by a bench trial. And what happens is, what's interesting is, let's say we're suing, I'm picking the city because I'm in it now, City of Jackson. I'm a judge. I'm Hinds County Circuit Court judge. I'm suing the City of Jackson or Jackson Public Schools for $1 million. I know I'm being reelected in 3 years. No one said anything to me, but, you know, it will be used in my campaign if I give a $10 million judgment against the Jackson Public School System. And they're like, why don't we have a band this year? Well, Judge Hazard gave away that huge verdict. And, you know, so I like the jury trial. Now, there's some interesting case law. What happens if I'm suing one defendant and I get a jury trial and I'm suing one defendant and I get a bench trial and what's called comparative negligence, where a percentage comes in and the jury says the defendants are 70% liable and the judge says they're 25% liable. You know, you get some interesting scenarios there. Usually the judge prevails on all that. Next question, what if those federal claims are brought in Mississippi state courts? 1983 is concurrent jurisdiction. You can bring them in state court. I will tell you, I've done that a couple of times. Won't name the courts of the judges. You do not want a state court judge deciding federal law, in my opinion. It's just not they do every day. And when you get into like state created danger, it's a nuance. It gets into a lot of briefing. You've got to understand right now, a lot of our judges are ex-prosecutors, and they're primarily elected for criminal dockets. So they, you know, right now they're really emphasizing mediation, arbitration in a lot of counties, or mediation. They'll tell you, I just don't want to get involved. I'm an ex-prosecutor. I've had some be very honest with me. I'd rather y'all resolve it yourselves. So, you know, coming up here, or, you know, we've got 4 or 5 criminal trials that's going to take precedence of any civil matter. I feel like every civil case should settle when all the facts are known. I've gotten that a lot, but you do not want to bring up something. Look, there's some federal judges, in my opinion, that don't understand some of these complex federal questions. But I would always bring your federal claims in federal courts. I think we have some excellent federal court judges. Next question. If someone blocks the highway, is it a form of kidnapping, stopping folks trying to get to hospitals, et cetera? Cooper, I'll let you take this one.
And the question was in regard to the protesters.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
that
yeah,
I just
yeah,
wanted to be
yeah.
clear. Yeah.
No. No, it's not a form of kidnapping. I mean, as long as you're on federal questions, we're going interstate travel. It's a stretch.
No. What you get into is one. Look, there's some videos out there. If you're in a car, let me say this, and someone's trying to stop you and they're on their feet, do not let them pull you out the car. Not stop the car. Try to avoid people. But if a group of people are coming at you, you're in a, what is the car weigh now? I don't even know.
Depends on what you got. A lot. They can weigh a lot. Yeah.
Do not stop the car. Do not let them, even if they, you know, puncture your tires.
Right. And if you're in the vehicle and people are, you know, let's say they're not being peaceful and sitting and blocking the road. And you fear an imminent danger and they have the apparent means to harm you, even though you're in a vehicle and they are outside as a single human and they hit the vehicle, they're assaulting you.
Yes.
Like, they are committing a crime against you individually to hit your vehicle because, again, you...
Well, it wouldn't be assault, would it? It would be malicious mischief, destruction of property. Assault has to cause pain to the body.
Listen, man, I love that car.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying it has to be... Because, look, I've had a couple of cases in Mississippi. Assault, the poking case, is not assault in Mississippi. And I used to get a couple cases of... Richard, did you ever have a poking assault case when you were prosecuting?
No.
The poking and the groping case in Mississippi, because the victim has to say, it caused me pain, caused me injury. And you'd be like, okay, he groped you, ma'am. You know, he grabbed this part. He wasn't authorized, or you didn't want him to grab that part of your body. I understand that. Did it? And I have to ask him on the stand, did it cause you pain? And the judge knew exactly, did it cause you injury? Well, it humiliated me or, you know, that. Okay, that's great. And I'll be like, bruising? Any bruising? And, you know, we had a couple of poking cases where people got, you know, arguments over voting. And people started, elderly people started poking each other. And they were dismissed because there was no injury. But, I mean, malicious, look, there was a case the other day I saw. Someone keyed a car, $6,000. Of damage to the car, that's a felony.
Mm-hmm.
That's a year. So keep that in mind. Hang on a sec. Mike from Madison has his constitution. That raises the distinction between kidnapping and false imprisonment. Kidnapping requires appropriation movement. False imprisonment is a lesser included offense when applicable. Yes, but I don't think, I mean, if someone's actually taking you from the car, yes, that's a kidnapping. Someone, I run on 55 and I'm stopping traffic, and please do not run on the interstate in any form, fashion.
Right.
But if I somehow turn my car, like lately here, and hasn't happened in a while, some kids will actually
block off the road
to take TikToks and to spin. If you're behind those cars, you're not kidnapped. You might be frustrated,
right?
But you're not kidnapped because, like I said,
they're violations of the rules of the road.
Correct.
And so
yes.
Police are eventually going to come and arrest them or correct. Do whatever they got to do.
Yes. But it would be, hang on. Thomas in Greenwood on the self-driving cars and the liability. Thomas, we're going to save yours. We're going to get to that. Let me take care of these other ones. It would be assault after I made a path down the highway. A train can't stop on a dime, and neither can I. Hey, do what you got to do to defend yourself. Where you're forgetting a Mississippi statute about simple assault by putting someone in a fear of imminent bodily harm. No, I'm not. Actually, if you read the statute, and I'll pull it up during the break, that is for other states. We do not have the fear. Oh, actually, we'll get into that and discuss that as soon as we get here. Come back from break.
Fillmore Buick.
Okay, we're back. Richard Schwartz Show, Brent Hazard, hey. Cooper Miles. Go ahead, Richie.
Brent, real quick, the Phillips CPAC settlement has occurred.
Okay.
$1.1 billion. So anyone that is our client, and we're trying to get some information from you on CPAC, today might be the last day to get the information to us. So take our calls or call us if you're missing some information, hadn't given it to us, so we can get you in the settlement.
And that's 601-988-8888, 601-988-8888, all eights.
So do I just walk down the hall and talk to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make sure you get your cash. Gotcha. Unless you don't want your cash, we'll keep it. We'll give it to your wife, excuse me.
Right.
The one who's injured in that scenario.
Right.
A couple of text messages. It would be assault after I'm Ricky in Aberdeen. Mississippi law does absolutely have fear of harm. Read the statute. Ricky, I'm not saying it doesn't, but I prosecuted this statute. We're talking about 97-3-7. A person is guilty of simple assault if he or she attempts to cause or purposely, knowingly, or recklessly causes bodily injury to another, negligently causes bodily injury to another with a deadly weapon or other means likely to produce death or serious bodily injury. And this is where we get into attempts by physical menace to put another in fear of imminent serious bodily harm. And Ricky, what I was talking about, go look at my examples that I personally use. Poking. The poking case that was brought to me when I was a Hinds County prosecutor, I asked the person, were you in fear of serious imminent bodily harm? The person said no, because poking is not going to put anybody in fear. Groping, the case I handled specific Christmas party, gentleman came behind a young lady and groped her in her buttocks. She didn't see it coming. So I had to go with that. Now, going with Cooper's analysis, you come from behind with a bat. I don't see you coming, and you hit my taillights. Did you see them coming? Now, if you're coming at me and you're pounding to try to break the window, and yes, I'll go ahead and say, right. I don't know where you're going to stop. Okay, but if on some of this property damage, and I see these people all the time, and then let me go ahead and say this, Ricky. Someone texts in right now, Brent, I'm coming down there, and I'm going to beat you. The courts have ruled that's not a serious imminent.
You're looking at imminent.
You got to be in the room. You got to be close to me, or it cannot be conditional. That's
if I tell Brent I'm coming across this desk.
Yeah, now.
Now he's in fear.
Well, he's from Columbus, so not really, okay? I'm from the Delta. but no, you're correct. But here's the other thing. If he said, Brent, if you don't talk about self-driving machines, then I'm going to beat you. That's a conditional statement. That's not assault. But so that's what we're talking about, Ricky. But thank you for listening. Thank you for sending this statute. I hope we explained that. But yes, if someone's breaking it, now let me go ahead and say it where all this comes into play. Castle Doctrine. Avoid conflict, okay? Do everything you can to avoid conflict. To avoid situations, call 911 immediately. Call 911 immediately and say, you know, hey, Cooper, I'm backing up. Cooper, you want a recording of this. This will save you time, but just because you're not guilty doesn't mean the civil suit's not coming. You want to show, and like I always say, the number's three. Back up three times. Do everything you can. I had someone find me at my house in Tupelo one time. I went in two rooms. I had a 12-gauge. I knew exactly who it was. They were trying to kick in the door. And I called 911 and said, I'm in my bedroom. The door's closed. He gets through two doors. He's going down. Please get someone right here. And I mean, I was establishing an alibi for self-defense. Do not be the aggressor. You do not want to have an ego issue when you're facing 12 people and said, why did you not
do it? And remember, Castle Doctrine is just a defense.
Correct.
It doesn't mean you're going to win on it. And the Castle Doctrine does apply to the vehicles as well. And we were talking about the vehicles, someone coming at you to your vehicle and their your fear for your life. You have a Castle Doctrine defense there too. But it's just a defense. It doesn't necessarily mean you won't be found guilty.
And what you're talking about, Richie, I know what you're talking about as an ex-prosecutor. A defense must be raised in a criminal matter at trial. You can't win it on emotion. You can't get a, you know, you can't get out of jail. And there was a guy in Hinds County. Someone was breaking in some cars. He shot him. Eventually, they didn't even prosecute. I think he spent 6 months in jail in Hinds County. Now, I'm sorry, there's just no car out there. And I had a 64 and a half blue Mustang. That's my first car. I love that car. But, I think Ricky Texas, great answer. We're running out of time. We're not going to be able to talk about self-driving cars. But, Richie, back to the CPAP. Is it too late to sign up?
It may be, yeah. I think they're only settling the existing cases, at least for us. There may be other law firms who will be taking them. But, I mean, I guess if they came in today and signed up, maybe there's a chance. But I'd say no. Not for us, anyway. Not right now.
Well, guys, thank you for listening. Thanks for the text messages. Next time we're back, self-driving cars. We'll see you guys whenever.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.